You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible.
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
This was long ago when I saw a movie in a theater. And like, the Atomic Blonde came on, the trailer.
Yeah.
And they have this scene where she's a lesbian. I was like, oh my God. Like, to everyone. And they were like, Casey.
I'm dyking out, you're dyking out. Let's dyke out together. See what it's all about.
Dyking out!
Hi, and welcome to Dyking Out, a podcast that hopes you are all having a happy new queer. I'm Carolyn Bergier.
I'm Melody Kamali, and today we're dyking out with comedian Casey Jane Ellison about lesbian fun.
Yes. Well, welcome everybody to 2021. And if you are new here, welcome and go and rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and sign up for our Patreon at patreon.com/dykingout.
And if you're a seasoned U-Hauler and haven't done those things, what are you waiting for exactly? Just curious.
Yeah, get on it. Make it your resolution to support dykes. Only make resolutions that you can stick to this year.
Keep them manageable. You could do a review.
What resolutions do you have, Melody?
Oh,
not do you
a
dare?
Thing. No, not after this year. I feel nothing. I'm just kind of waiting for the spring at this point. You know what? And as an Iranian, I'm going to go ahead and say it's not the new year. We celebrate it actually on the first day of spring. No ruse. So
very anti-American of you, Melody.
My pleasure, honestly.
But not as anti-American as the upcoming coup.
But they wear flags. I don't understand.
Yeah. You know, with a pending civil war, it's kind of hard to think about resolutions. So I'm trying to keep mine realistic because the one thing I know that I'll be doing in 2021 is dyking out. We have proved that this podcast is pandemic proof and plandemic proof.
Yes.
We can survive conspiracies and pandemics. So
we might be contractually obligated to do at least another year because we forgot to tick off the option on our Patreon, and some users have been able to pay for a year in advance. So do not worry. Dyking Out will be here for at least another year.
At least a year.
Awesome.
Or else it's too much.
A lot of
too much bookkeeping.
Yeah,
it's too much bookkeeping. We've locked in a new sponsor for the whole first quarter, so you know, we're really being held accountable by money, and that's the best way to keep us accountable is give us money, and
then we'll just keep going. Capricorns hosting a podcast, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I have some resolutions for 2021, and that is I resolve to not talk about Rosie O'Donnell
anymore.
You're
doing it already. I mean.
Until we have her on the podcast.
Okay. Thank you to the TikTokers who have tagged us in Rosie's comments.
Yes.
I feel now like it's on me. Seen them. Now it's on Carolyn to just shut up.
Yeah. And just let the universe don't do its thing.
Her. Yeah. Set your intentions silently.
I'm also, I mean, I guess this doesn't have to do with the podcast, but I am resolving to have more sex this year.
Oh my God. You know what? Me too.
Yeah, I feel like last year between having COVID for 8 weeks and then having a lofted bed slowed down.
And a global pandemic. I mean, we're all traumatized. It's just been heavy times. I'm getting defenses because I didn't have COVID. And I was like, wait, what's my excuse? Oh, yeah, 2020. My mental health.
I think 2021 will be a big year for Dyking Out. I think we should have a goal of having... At least we should write down 5 dream guests each for the year.
Okay.
And then we'll get listeners involved. So listeners, what's your Dyking Out resolution? Who should we have on? We'll pick the 5 most popular requests we get and we will harass them until they feel uncomfortable and their assistants stop getting back to me.
Happens.
How we're going to do this is on Instagram this week. Keep an eye out at Dyking Out. We will have a question on there of who you want our guests to be in 2021. And then you can reply there and then we'll be able to track it better and then see what the most popular answers are and pursue. You know, I appreciate that this year at least isn't a sneak attack like last year.
When I tell you last year was my, I mean, everyone, it was a big 2020, you know.
Yeah.
And things were going really well. Like it was the year of shaping Barbara Walters. Up to be, yeah. You know, my, like I just, everything was going very well. I got on Dyking Out. You know, like I was so happy. It was a sneak attack.
And now it's not a sneak attack. We know and we are prepared. And that's kind of like how I like to live my life anyway, is like think worst case scenario and like plan for it and prepare for it and then be like delightfully surprised.
Same.
Like I was convinced in my early 20s, like no one's ever going to love me. I'm going to die alone. I'll never find anyone. And I'm on my second marriage, baby. Like
you're so good at it. And marriage, I mean... Yeah, I do. I always think worst case scenario. I just never even, this scenario never occurred. So now I need to dream big, you know, doom wise, but no problem. After this year, I can do that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm ready to coast.
What did you do for New Year's? Anything?
Definitely watched a couple of Dawson's Creek episodes. It won't stop. And I'm upset because I watched it when it was on. I know how much of it there is, but we actually watched, I remembered we had a screener that would expire New Year's Day morning. And I was like, oh shit. I want to watch, like I've been wanting to watch this movie.
Me
two
too.
Of us. So yes. We watched that New Year's Eve and actually paused the movie at New Year's and we're like, Happy New Year, I guess. Like we kissed and then we resumed this amazing film.
Yes, which we can't talk about until it comes out in February, but we can put it on people's radars because we also watched it on New Year's Eve, realizing that the screener was going to expire. And two of us, you know, we started off last year, Melody, obsessing over a French lesbian film.
That's true.
And the French keep delivering. So this is another great, I mean, technically modern. Came out in 2019, but a modern, yes, there is electricity.
running it's, water. It's got everything, really.
Yeah. Normal underwear. Just the works. So keep an eye out for a movie about old French lesbians. I just really loved it. So,
yeah.
We watched that first and then we watched The Wilds.
Okay. What did you think?
Oh my God. I loved it. I mean, it is a little like...
It's YA, you know?
It is. And it's like that Orange is the New Black where it's like the backstory and then what's happening now. And then like what's happening on this side of things, you know? it reminded me of that. It is YA. The one character was reminding me so much of Shailene Woodley that it was like a little bit distracting. I think Leah.
Shailene vibes for sure, but not while I was watching it. It was one I went to look her up and saw, because, you know, these girls are looking like hell in this, like on the island and stuff, just to like see her like headshots and like her Instagram feed. I'm like, okay,
yeah. I'm going to go and say, I think they look great.
Oh no. I mean, definitely. Even with
the exposure.
They're not giving me Shailene and other Hollywood actresses is what I'm saying.
Right, right. Oh, yeah. And yeah, it was great to see so many fresh faces, like new talents. Everyone was great in it. There was a lot of representation going on across the board, though I have to say, like, no ginger representation. That would have been the first person to die of exposure. I can't watch things like that without being like, if I didn't have sunblock, I would die. I would die. I would just burn to a crisp.
But they did.
And be covered it, in blisters.
The character, the girls are burnt. Like, they are. Notice their whole forehead.
Yes,
like, everyone
and I
has blistered
it.
Skin.
I appreciated
on their face.
It so much. But I also thought, like, if they're all blistered, I would have been just.
Maybe that's why they didn't pick, in the world of the show, they didn't pick a ginger to send to this island, because they're like, we couldn't.
Yes. Yeah. A whole episode about how sensitive
physically
her skin
impossible.
Was.
Yeah.
It was good. I really enjoyed it. And the lesbian character did remind me of an ex of mine so much.
Really?
So much. Yes. Just like the angst.
Do you know who she reminded me of? I don't know. She wouldn't mind if I said it. Veronica Garza. She's a past guest, right?
Oh, yeah.
She was giving me the
Veronica,
New York comedian Veronica Garza.
Yes.
Big I old lesbian. Her. Yeah.
I think it's the basketball
energy. Basketball shorts.
I think Veronica brings that. And I could see that. I kept thinking that the Dorothy character could have easily... And I thought she was great. And she's queer in real life. And I followed her on social media and hope that we can get her on the podcast. What's her name? Shannon Barry. But when she first came on, I kept picturing either Ever Maynard, past guest, or Molly.
This is fun.
Or Molly Kearney. Yeah. But I was like, oh, man, for this role, I could totally see either of them auditioning for this part.
Definitely.
There was a lot to like about that show. I enjoyed it a lot. I can't wait for season 2.
They set it up.
Well, we'll definitely be watching next season of it. Definitely recommend. Loved all the gay and queer parts about it. It was a great balance.
It wasn't just the gay characters. It's a very gay show.
You know, let's just get right to it, Melody. What's the gayest thing you did this week?
Oh my God. After so much isolation, so much antisocial behavior, I went on a lesbian double date with recent guest Erica Rose and her girlfriend Leah. You and Cecilia. We were supposed to make this happen before you moved.
Yeah.
You know.
And then we couldn't because of the weather.
You know, literal rain checks now that we can only hang outside. It was raining. We're supposed to go to the cubby hole. But you were missed. We went and had brunch outdoors with like a wobbly heat lamp that did nothing on top of us. It was freezing.
40 degrees.
But it was
out.
So good to, I don't even know if I'd been on a lesbian double date like in the years leading up to the pandemic. It was just like, I don't know. It doesn't happen that often. So it was very exciting and we were all very giddy to be there. We did have to cut it short because Allie and I did not wear proper footwear because we were so concerned with impressing the lesbians that we wore like cool ankle boots. You know, like we could have worn thicker shoes and we were eventually could not feel our feet and we had to wrap up the brunch sitting outside in the winter. What's the gayest thing you did?
You know, I thought it was going to be that I pruned a tree, bought this giant pole at Home Depot and it had a saw at the end and I thought, why not? And cut some branches off a tree.
That's what pruning a tree is?
Yeah, just cutting back some of the branches that are problematic, you know.
Problematic. That is the gayest thing you did. You're like, you know what, tree? This is problematic and harmful behavior.
You're not respecting the boundaries that I've clearly established.
My home is not a safe space, and we're gonna have to prune you.
Yeah. So definitely, and like Cecilia was just like really into me using the saw at the end of this long pole. So she was taking a lot of pictures, and there's a lot of videos of me turning at her and glaring and saying, stop.
What's she saying?
She's laughing and stuff, but I'm recording and it picks up and you can't do that.
Yes, she can. The Susans will love it.
Okay.
You haulers.
Yes, we are in a hotel right now because the renovations are kind of crazy and you can't. We thought we could live in the house if we just quarantined to the one room where they're not doing any work. But
we've been living in essentially one room for years in New York.
Right. We thought, like,
we'll
this will be.
No problem.
No problem to set everything up in one room, and there's just like too much going on, and we had to get a hotel for a week. And because we are in a hotel, there's a TV with cable, which means we're turning it on and seeing what's
watching
playing.
Hitch? Are you watching Hitch with Will Smith? Because
no. Is that what you watch when you go to hotels?
No, your hotel TV has not been long enough. Hitch will come on. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
You're in a hotel and a TV's on. Eventually, Hitch plays.
Well, HGTV came on and I posted a screenshot of like we weren't looking. We were looking for a movie and then there were two lesbians on this like Buy in a Hurry show or something
yes.
like that. So we had to
Home
stop
in a hurry,
and watch
house
Home in a
hurry.
Hurry, something. Yeah. And what lesbian house buying story isn't Home in a Hurry? We can't buy it fast enough. And so
true.
We stopped to watch that. But last night we watched Ocean's 8. We turned on Ocean's 8 and got in like right when the action is starting to happen. And then we paused to like during the commercial break, we ranked the Ocean's 8 in order of how attracted we were to them.
Of course.
And I thought that that was very gay for us to.
You're not going to tell us your list?
Oh, I am. Yeah,
okay.
I wrote it down.
Okay.
Wrote it down. Most attractive for both of us was Kate Blanchett. You know, recently watched Carol for the holiday seasons. Of course, it is a Christmas movie and undeniable, Kate Blanchett. Sarah Paulson as the number two, which was a surprise for me. Normally, I wouldn't put her that high, but wow, in Ocean's 8, she is just stunning. Like, I find Sarah Paulson attractive, but normally she's not like.
Yeah, you know. I get that.
And then Rihanna as number three.
Is that how you.
That's how it's pronounced. Everybody says Rihanna, and it's actually Rihanna, and I try to respect that, but I'm not a jerk and I don't correct everybody else. I just say
I'm
it myself,
dying.
Okay?
Wow, thank you so much, Carolyn. On behalf of literally everyone, thank you so much for not being a jerk and correcting us.
No, I'm not going to correct anyone, but when she said that it's pronounced Rihanna, I'm going to say it.
All right. Okay.
Going to respect that. Then Sandra Bullock.
And then Awkwafina.
Sandra Bullock, then
Bullock.
Bullock. Then Sandra Bullock.
Am I saying that wrong too? Sandra Bullock. You better not edit that out.
I am. I'm going to say Sandra Bullock.
Come on. You're so annoying.
I am bad
These
at
are
saying
fun
names. Okay. All right. Okay. Anne Hathaway.
Okay.
Then Awkwafina.
Okay, yeah. I'm agreeing kind of mostly.
Yeah, I mean, I think Awkwafina is very awesome, but the coolness factor, I would feel too, like, nervous, like, you know, that goes into it.
You're
I factor a bunch of
yeah.
things. Yeah. It's a lot. The things that go into consideration for attractiveness, it's very complicated.
You're
and
like, well,
that would be a whole episode
cool
in
factor?
Itself. Yeah.
Okay.
Then Mindy Kaling, only because she's just so straight, she falls a little bit more to the bottom. She's just so straight.
She is. I get that.
But I do put her above Helena Bonham Carter, who is just kind of more like an ethereal being to me and not somebody that I sexualize. Like, she's just...
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Okay, I'm not going to get gross. But her rack. not opposed.
I'm sure she has a nice one, and I don't know. I've just
petition
never...
to switch her with Mindy. It really is. Mindy is such straight culture.
Yes, she just loves straight rom-coms.
And I read her
so
books,
much.
And I enjoy her. It's just, we're not.
She's great.
We're not
she's
together,
smart.
You know?
She's funny. She's beautiful. But she's just so straight that it makes me not attracted to her in that way.
Right. And
yeah,
that late night movie did not help.
For sure. So those are the rankings.
Agreeable.
Controversial?
No.
Only because of the way I pronounce names.
Absolutely.
The more you know. Well, it's time for us to get into our interview, which don't let the topic deceive you. We set out to talk about the fun things about being a lesbian, and,
it got us thinking.
It got us thinking, because it's been a year of us forgetting what is fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think fun is a very subjective thing, so this conversation is quite subjective.
Listen and to us grapple with that.
Is being a lesbian fun? Debatable. Is this conversation fun? I had
Absolutely.
A great time.
I had fun.
So today we are diking out with comedian, writer, and artist Casey Jane Ellison. Casey has written for outlets like Vice, Gawker, GQ, and she's been written up in so many places about her comedy. She also co-hosted a limited series podcast for Earwolf called The Problem with Charles and Casey, and will be in the upcoming season of Search Party. Let's get into it. Casey, thank you so much for diking out with us today. I would love to
say
that you are the first back-to-back couple recording, but you're not because this is diking out. So we have had back-to-back couples come in for recordings before. Also spaced out, also ex-girlfriends. We've had it all, but we're glad to have you here today.
On the chart. Thank you.
Yes, right.
Thank you so much for having me on the chart. I mean, that's how it works. That's how being a lesbian works, I've heard.
Yeah.
You have to get on the chart. Yeah.
But Casey, tell us a little bit about yourself. You're a comedian. You're living out in LA.
That's right. Yes, I'm hilarious.
Yes.
I'm a lesbian. I have a girlfriend, as you've said. I'm also an artist. I'm just like, just a treasure, really. And oh yeah, and I love my girlfriend to pieces. And as I've said, I'm a lesbian. I chose to be a lesbian.
Of course.
Which,
how
you
great.
Become a lesbian.
Yeah.
And
that was a good choice.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it really turned out, it truly like cured me of all that was wrong.
How old were you when you chose to be a lesbian?
Born.
Yeah.
Yeah. But straight out, I was like, duh.
I like this proximity to badge. Yeah.
I was like, these people, these straights are a nightmare. This is not, what are we doing here? And they said, no. And that's what they did. They looked at my newborn self and they said, no. And then I knew I was right.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And I'm from LA as well. Grew up here.
I hear people grow up there. That's so cool.
I know. There's such like people, LA natives are confusing. Like sometimes they're the stereotype. Well, actually always they're the stereotype. But people like don't know that it's like maybe subcutaneous or that it's just always inside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they're not like always so quintessential in that way on the outside. Like a lot of people think I'm East Coast.
I would have thought, yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. You have some Brooklyn vibes.
that is so. Okay. I'm going to let that go.
Marilyn. A couple minutes in attacking the guest.
I didn't know that was an attack. As somebody who just moved from Queens, if I say you have Brooklyn vibes, it just means you're cooler than me. That's really.
Well, you know what's so fun? Now we're moving along in my life. I was one of the original gentrifiers of Ridgewood.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Back in like 2009.
Wow.
Like
that would be original gentrifying, yeah.
Yeah, because you know it's Queens, because so many people now here who are just in it think it's Bushwick and think it's Brooklyn. A lot of people don't even know it's Queens.
I'm sorry. And I moved back home, so.
So you're a native Los Angelinos dating a native New Yorker.
Yeah, actually, she's from Queens. And we always wonder if we crossed paths back then. Like we like to imagine in a lesbian way that we like, you know, in some indie lesbian movie.
Yeah. Sliding Doors.
Maybe we're on the bus together. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love that.
She drops her Metro card. You pick it up.
Or maybe she gay-bashed me on the bus because I don't know if she was out then. I don't know.
Yeah, she seemed like somebody who definitely would have said, what are you looking at, dyke?
Fighter.
Stop looking at my beautiful tits.
I know, she's wonderful.
She is. We had so much fun talking to her. And you mentioned you're an artist too. What's your medium?
I do animation. I do...
Amazing.
I like to actually do media. Like I like to create videos and then I do these stills that are printed on mirror.
Cool.
That are like, you walk past them, you're in them, they kind of float. They're like really, you know, they're a cool way of not just like printing photographs and paintings because I also paint them. They're like an image printed on a mirror that is like, bent by light. It's really cool. I'll send you a link.
That. Yeah.
It sounds cool. Yeah. And what's your comedian origin story? How'd you end up getting into comedy?
Well, I was living in Ridgewood and I walked past this like sandwich board every day in the LES. It was like comedy at 4 p.m. and the sun was like shining bright. And I went inside in the broad daylight. And I wrote a set in like the bathroom. And then I performed. I hated it, but I fell in love too, which is I think how I like to do. I think I misconstrue hate for love.
So you know you're a comic.
Exactly.
Right.
This made me feel terrible. I'll be back tomorrow at 3 p.m. Exactly. Comedy in the daylight. That is something about New York comedy that blew my mind. Because I came from Chicago where it's just like, it was like a drinking city. It's just like the comedy happens when the drinking happens and the mics didn't start until like much later. Something felt weird about 4 p.m. comedy.
Not mics. Even 4 p.m. We had 11 a.m. mics.
Right.
Like, I think at Otto's Shrunken Head, they start as early as 11, like every day.
Wait, Shrunken Head, where was that?
That was LES, right? Is that, or East Village?
I also went to school in Chicago. So I was like, Shrunken Head sounds like a Chicago spot, don't you think?
It does.
Melody would know. Yeah. She's the local.
Yeah,
Chicago
that is a New York
expert.
One I never made it to.
Yeah.
Because I didn't hear good things. In New York, Shrunken Head.
Oh, right. You've never done Otto's?
No.
Interesting. Okay.
Me neither.
I moved here and I was like, Caroline's, please. I'm like, no, I'm kidding. I just
and they
hate
said,
mics. Yeah, I did get to perform at Caroline's opening for my girlfriend.
Love that. What's that story?
I made her when Caroline's gives a breakout artist series to comics where you get an hour and you get to pick who opens and features. And I was like, so I am featuring.
And if you don't pick who you're sleeping with,
yeah, it's a problem.
You have to break up. Yeah, that's the rule.
That is that a lesbian lesbian rule specific?
I don't think it's lesbian specific. I feel I'm trying to think of people.
Actually, a lot of comedy couples, yeah, I've seen for their Caroline's breakout artists have their partner usually on it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that sounds lesbian to me. Yeah, like very like, I don't know if it like it edges on unhealthy, but it's also like.
Comedian couples are lesbian couples. They're codependent. They're unhealthy most of the time.
Really? Wait, this is a thing that lesbian couples are unhealthy.
No, but there is a big stereotype about a lot of codependency and toxic, like staying with someone who you aren't supposed to maybe stay with because of the scarcity or, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Staying longer than you should.
Also, if you're dating like within the lesbian community or the stand-up comic community or any type of comedy community, the chart. Is like,
it's
I feel
small.
Like the chart gets extra intense too when you're looking at lesbians within the comedy community.
Oh,
because
yeah.
So many of them.
And yet both lesbians and comics are on the rise. I think most people are converting to one or the
yeah,
other.
Yeah, they're making those choices.
Right.
Yeah. So that's so interesting.
it's the way to thrive. Yeah.
Yeah.
We do ask all of our guests, what is the gayest thing you did this week?
So the gayest thing I did this week, just give me a chance. Okay. Like, okay. The gayest thing I've done this week is like eat pussy. I don't know wait, like, what are we talking about?
I pruned a tree. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I drove to a mountaintop. Yesterday, okay. And I stared out on the city, like,
see,
I gathered different perspectives.
That's gayer than sex, gay sex.
Yeah, yeah, that's gayer than gay sex for sure.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. There were a lot of actually, like, probably closeted men there. So you're right. Yeah.
they're there to become either gay or a comedian. That's
exactly.
Sitting on that.
It's part of the process now. You have to drive to the mountaintop.
Right. I did that. I also, what is very lesbian? Like, I feel like I broke down cardboard boxes in a very, like, nice way. Like, like very nice, you know?
What do you,
I know, I'm like, what, I guess, I think
what's
I
nice
do it
versus not nice,
meanly.
Yeah.
It's a lot of ripping.
I guess I say that because, like, it would have been violent and like annoying and like a dad thing to do if it was just like, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I kind of was like, I have a trash issue. I have a anxiety about trash and I have a rigid structure about trash. I've spent like hundreds of dollars organizing the trash in my life, like compost. This
right.
is very lesbian.
Yeah.
We have compost.
And very LA.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We have recyclables, and then we have waste you try to get down as much as possible. And I learned that like a couple years ago that like you cannot just recycle things. Like you have to take off the tape of things.
Right.
You have to take off the labels. It has to be sparkling clean. There cannot be food.
Yeah.
They should be clean enough that you can put them in a recycling bin without a bag in your home. Like,
yeah.
So that it, yeah.
My girlfriend's very anal about our trash and recyclables too.
Yeah.
What's her, does she have any tips?
It's like we use our dishwasher to conserve water for our like dishwashing, but then like she's like the water's running and she's scraping like tape and like stickiness off of like jars. And it's just very, it's a thorough cleaning process for our recyclables.
It's horrible. Like it, does she have an anxiety attached to it?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of diagnoses there.
Right.
And me too. I have anxiety about trash. I think she throws, as much as she's good about recycling, she'll just like well, she'll throw big things into like our small New York like trash can and like doesn't really like realize some things could be recycled. And that's where I get anxious. I think it's because I talk sometimes with European friends who like get fined, who like made me realize how shitty we are about trash here, because like we would be owing the government so much money with the way we dispose of our things here.
It's crazy.
If it was enforced that same way, like you have to get it down to a very small amount of trash.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So is the anxiety here around the amount of trash? Because I know I have like existential, like every time I throw out stuff, I think about how much everybody else throws out. And I'm like, if this is me trying to be careful about reducing my waste, what is the average person throwing out? And especially with like renovating, we have like a giant dumpster outside our house. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe we're two people producing this much waste. What can we salvage? What can we reuse?
Yeah.
It's all of that for sure. But then it's also just like, why is there trash? Like, like every day it keeps happening. And I'm just like, we know this is an issue and I still buy things that have trash. And
yeah,
it's just that. It's just like your life. Like, it's just like too much. But wait, I do not want to just gloss over the sex part of the gay thing
go into it. Yeah.
Because that's the funnest part.
Yes.
Yes.
And honestly,
was it like New Year's Eve sex? Was it like 2020's over?
No, it was just like a normal thing. And then a normal, just like rapturous, like beautiful, just like an average lesbian inventing sex and creation and then kind of like sculpting it in the air, you know, and then like birthing something beautiful, just an average.
Yeah.
Lesbian experience.
Was it spontaneous? Like,
yeah. Like, not yet.
Yeah.
And then always just kind of like, oh yeah, do you guys plan sex?
No, but like my girlfriend did start working like full time. So it's just like, she's so tired during the week that it's like the weekend we know is where most of the sex is going to be happening lately. Most of the good sex.
Got it.
So it's not planned, but it's implied.
Got it.
For us, it's like somewhat planned, like tonight or tomorrow night. Like,
we're both Capricorns.
We're busy. Yeah. So yeah.
That's it, actually, probably.
Wow. What's it like being a Capricorn? I'm Cap Rising.
Oh, okay. Is
so
Rising?
I wish.
Yeah, me too, actually. So I'm like intensely, I'm a Virgo moon. So it's just like a lot.
Very dry.
Yeah.
Very earthy.
But I swear I am fun and funny. But it is
caps,
neuroses.
I collect caps and Leos in my life.
I collect Taurus and weirdly so many Geminis.
Oh.
Yeah. And my girlfriend's Gemini and it's not supposed to work, but somehow it has. Because I was by having a... No.
Is she dealing with her Gemini-ness?
I think, honestly, ever since therapy, yeah. It's helping her be a Gemini, for sure.
I mean, that's a podcast. Like, I want to see a reformed Gemini.
You're right. My dad's a Gemini, so I was like, I am never getting with a Gemini.
My mom's a Gemini.
And then suddenly I had two Gemini roommates and a Gemini girlfriend. It's like, what?
Life does that.
That's six people.
For sure.
Wait, what's your sign?
I'm an Aries.
Oh, okay. What's it like being an Aries? Feels like very cool. Very, I like, admire a lot of Aries.
I think it's very, I feel it very specifically. You know, the troubles of an Aries and the, what makes Aries go are, I think, just like universal. Like, it's like, I don't know. I feel like they're the only sign, really.
You sound like a Leo?
Leo, yeah. I don't know much about astrology, but I know that that's a very Leo thing to say.
Guess my moon.
Oh, man. Rawr. Leo moon. That's great.
Yeah.
And this is a great way to bring in our topic of the joys of being a lesbian.
So you can talk about astrology and know that everybody has a baseline understanding. Yeah. Is that the first one we're hitting off on?
Yes.
Perfect.
We have got a new sponsor that we are so excited about.
Had we gotten this sponsor sooner, I might not have messed up my back from passing out on the couch in weird positions while binging Netflix.
Yeah, maybe if you got a decent night's sleep, Melody, you wouldn't keep falling asleep during all of the movies that I want to dike out about on this podcast. And now you have no excuse because you and Allie have upgraded big time to a Helix mattress.
We sure have. Helix has a bunch of different options so you can find the bed that fits your lifestyle. And you figure out which one is right for you based on a quiz.
A quiz? Like the which lesbian sex position are you quiz we just took?
No, but close. It did ask me if I sleep with someone else and their gender.
Ah, so the mattress knows you're a dyke.
Absolutely. They also know I'm a weird sleeper and that I get hot easily. The Helix quiz just took 2 minutes and I was matched with a Dusk Lux mattress because it's best for couples, especially with us both moving around a lot.
Yeah, I think that's called sex melody and it's okay to talk about it.
So, if you are in need of a new mattress, just take the quiz. Order the one that's right for you and get it shipped to your place for free.
Go to helixsleep.com/dikingout, take their 2-minute sleep quiz, and they'll match you to a customized mattress that will have you sleeping like Saoirse Ronan and Ammonite.
Or like me when I first tried watching Ammonite. They have a 10-year warranty and you get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. They'll even pick it up for you if you don't love it, but you will.
Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners at helixsleep.com/dikingout.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch. And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
And I think, like, everything I do is pretty gay. It's hard to choose for the week, which is the gayest, but
right.
It's very fun, and it's also like an invention of fun, a recreation of fun in your life. And like, yeah, I think that's where I would find the fun in lesbianism. Because I think, like, stereotypically, lesbians are categorized as like serious or not funny or
mm-hmm. yeah,
the happiest season or abusive or something. Anonymous.
Yeah.
but like there is a lot of fun, and I really don't want to be desperate about it, but I think that's what I want to talk about.
Yeah.
Do you think the fun stems from the fact that we don't have pregnancy scares?
I mean, the fun stems from not being near men.
Yes.
So like a lot of danger is removed in a lot of,
right,
a lot of ways.
It's lighter. Feeling.
It's a lighter feeling and then somehow heavier, which is also fun.
No, I'm anticipating so many contradictions. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Well, this is the thing. It's like, it's not so commercial. It's not a commercial style version, mm-hmm. although it can be, I think. We just have to figure that out. We still have to figure that part out, I think.
Yeah. Happiest season.
Yeah.
Tried is not it. Yeah. Like pregnancy scares, fear of getting murdered on dates.
Right.
All those kind of things, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you ever not have fun being a lesbian? Were you ever like closeted, struggling to accept it?
Well, yes, but I bump against the word closeted. But I would say that as a straight person, or as a more appropriately an A person, I was really pissed, and it was hard to find fun for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's like common for, I don't know. Tell me if this is common for lesbians to kind of be A and when they start out, because it's so confusing, because it's like, there's no influence to like
asexual,
bring you asexual. Yeah. Sorry. What did you think I meant?
Type A for a second?
No.
Just like, no, asexual. I don't have any of my shit together and never have. I'm not. Right.
And then I thought aggro. Like, just,
oh my God. Last night, my girlfriend, I found out my girlfriend thinks aggro means works in agriculture. Anyways.
That's very lesbian.
Yeah. Having so much fun. She doesn't even know what aggro means. She's not one of the angry ones.
No, I definitely had like very little interest in
I was so sex. Asexual.
Asexual. Yeah.
Well, you were masturbating a lot.
I was masturbating all the time. Is that
for
ace?
Sure.
I don't think that's ace, okay, right?
Then. It's asexual a version of ace, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Wait, it's not A?
I thought it was ace.
Ace.
Ace. Okay. Oh, I've always called it A because it rhymes with gay.
Okay.
You don't watch enough Pretty Little Liars because then you would know that A stands for a stalker who calls everyone bitches. I don't know. All right.
I just started it this quarantine. Yeah.
Yes.
So, planning on it.
So you did think you were A.
It's not that I thought that. I just thought like... I just had like no desire to sleep with men, and I didn't really think of what that, I just thought like, oh, maybe it'll make sense when I get older or whatever. But I just remember thinking it was like so easy to be a virgin, until I had like my first crush on a woman. And I would fantasize that I was a man so that I could like sleep with Madonna. That was like my fantasy when I was like first starting having fantasies. I was like, man, I wish I was born a man and then I could sleep with Madonna. Like that was my sexuality for years.
Madonna is so fucking genius. Like, it's just side note.
She is. She's such a hot mess right now, though.
I don't understand how you could literally be the receptacle of dreams like that. Like, a little lesbian across the world or across the nation is, like, putting so much hope into you as a vessel. And then you somehow, like, turn out. Like, where does that all go? You know, I wonder where she puts all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was kind of different. I was like, I really want a boyfriend so I can get a sponsor. to sponsor my emotions, like to make everyone realize that I'm right, which I think is like, yeah, it's like, I think that is lesbian, to just be like wanting to use a man in that way to like prove something to themselves and to the other world. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, kind of for me, because I'm not fully a lesbian, so this is actually insightful. Because I did have some attraction to men, but, like, preferred women and was very asexual and was like, I'll opt for women because these guys seem really mean and right. They scare me. So, like, men didn't – I thought I was a lesbian and, like, ignored the bi part that was like attracted to men. And then I eventually realized, oh, I'm actually like pan, I guess. And there are some that do it for me. But I was just like, no. I've heard some things about these guys. And I was like very bullied. I was like, they're so mean. No, why? No.
And somehow it works for them. Mm-hmm. Like they have a reputation for being mean, but like people are still into it. But then lesbians have.
And then
a
I'm just a frigid bitch. I don't.
I know it's fucked up, but that's cool. I still think you can like identify as a lesbian even though you're pan. Like, I'm not gonna say I'm not pan. Like, I'm not gonna close off my future sexual life, you know. But I'm still a lesbian, like politically.
Right. I very much identify. I just say dyke because some people will get upset about lesbian or very territorial about
right.
It.
Like it's a very specific.
Yeah.
Right. It's like. What does it mean in that term?
What does lesbian mean?
To those people. That
oh,
you're
to
about.
Those people. It's like, this is us, and like we've been through enough, and this is our club. And
But that's not fun with the gender thing.
No, and that's why everything's blowing up, and I love it.
Right, right. It's like same, you know, the ones that are more turfy are like, oh, it's same sex attraction, and it's based on biological sex. So it's like two AFAB humans, and that's like the only way it works. And then I think most people who identify as lesbians are like, if your gender is woman and you're dating other people whose gender is woman, then you're a lesbian. But then there are a lot of people who identified as lesbians like their whole life, and then they fall in love with someone who's non-binary or a trans man or something else, and then they're like, but I still feel like a lesbian, and I've been a lesbian my whole life, so I'm going to keep calling myself a lesbian. And some people have problems with that.
Right. Yeah, I think for me, like, lesbianism was like, and the sex was, that was what was so fun about it, was that it like completely, not just like gave a new world of sex, but it was like, it broke everything. Like it like shattered everything around me and like
all rules and norms.
Yeah. It expanded the universe and like, and to then to do that again, where it's like, no, the universe is actually, so you saw the whole universe. That's it. Like, that's not what it's about. Like, it's about like doing it over and over again. And, I guess it's, there's like, we need a sexuality or like a, sexuality to describe that type of sex. Where it's like about space travel or something.
Is queer it?
I don't know. I really don't know. I'm not like a theorist, and I'm just like, I vibe, you know? And like some people, like old people have a problem with the word queer because it was fucked up or something. And then it's like, I don't know if it's happening again with the word queer. I like the word queer the way it feels free. But sometimes it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, I have a friend who works for one of these like Cards Against Humanity type games. It's not them, but it's like, and they have an edition that's for people and for gay people. And they called it queer, and it's got so much backlash. And this was like 2 months ago. Like, people are still really not into that word.
It's tough. Like the corporatization, like gayness is so interesting. Like, in the mainstream, like this is like the issue. I think one of the fundamental things wrong with like the fun of being gay is that I think it like, it's very specific. Like, it doesn't always work. We start entering spaces that are like spooky and fucked up. And it doesn't work when you sell it necessarily. Like, it's weird that it doesn't work always like in mainstream shows, and it like becomes creepy or like, someone selling something that's weird. It just doesn't, it's difficult. It's a very delicate subject.
Like, what's an example of that?
Well, like what you're saying, like about the car, like if I saw a game that said queer, I'd be like, whoa, yeah. Take it easy.
Yeah. The commodification.
Like, who wrote this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause it's probably not a queer CEO at the top, you know, commissioning these games.
Or just like, is it fun? I don't know. Like, are we there? Is that, I think I should see some of the profits if you're doing that.
Or like we talked about in the past, Melody, the HBO Max.
It's HBO Max's Gay Initiative, Human by Orientation, HBO.
Oh, no.
Right.
Never seen that. Not
they
familiar.
Did all this pride stuff, and then they sent Melody and I these candles that just say flaming human.
It says flaming, and then it says human by orientation, but by orientation is in very small, like, italicized text under human, so it looks like we just got these candles that, like,
here
just
you
say,
go, you flaming human. You fucking dyke, have a right. candle. That was kind of the energy, and I'm sure there are, like, a lot of queer people on the team behind it, but because it's, like, corporate, it feels like a little bit weird.
Right.
Like, thanks for the free candle. It smells nice. Yeah. I know it was created by a queer candle maker out right. in LA.
Yeah, I'm just not seeing it for these corporations. I don't see them being gay.
Yeah.
And it's like, bravo. It's like, that's not cute. You know what I mean? Like, that's very...
Bravo, the TV network?
Yeah, Bravo, the TV network.
Oh, shit.
This is
sorry, am I,
a personal attack on Melody.
No. I honestly, I hated Bravo. I hated reality TV. I did not mm-hmm. watch that until
I don't believe it.
Started dating. I'm not kidding. You can ask my friends from Chicago. Until I moved, I was long distance with my girlfriend. I moved in with her, and she watches reality TV, and then just a really gay guy, yeah. roommate. And he was always watching The Housewives, and some of it felt camp, and I got sucked into it. And I, in quarantine, have caught up on two of the franchises.
Which are they?
First, it was New York and Beverly Hills. In quarantine, I binged all of Atlanta, which is now my top favorite, like, yes. they're so funny. Absolutely. Potomac, and now I'm watching Salt Lake City. So all of them but Dallas and Orange County, because the Trumpism in Orange County is just, I mean, it's there in all the franchises probably, but it's, you can't just gloss over it. It's like celebrated on that one.
Oh my,
one of them just came out as a lesbian, actually. One of
from Orange County.
Yeah.
Which one?
Bronwyn Wyndham Burke, the one who has like seven kids, who people are now saying she probably had a kid every year just to like avoid.
Right. Not be,
yeah. She just came out and has a girlfriend, and she's still married to her husband. But yeah, I just wanted to jump in, Carolyn, and say, I know I've been talking about Housewives a lot, especially in this pandemic, but it has been an escape. But I do mm-hmm. recognize, I mean, Andy Cohen is a clown.
Right.
Yeah. Like, he's not.
Andy Cohen scares me like deeply. Like, yeah. It's exactly like I'm pretty sure that that's not gay. I don't know. There's just, it's different. It's different. That's a different kind of gayness. Yeah. Like that's
there's a certain part of queer culture, especially gay male culture, that seems like it's for straight women to consume.
Mm-hmm. I love those. I think those housewives are gay. Like I
see,
love,
that's
like
why I talk about them.
Feel yes.
Female
and
friendship.
I feel gay watching it. I feel the gayness that I'm looking for in life.
That's
in
how I got sucked in.
Moments.
I was like, these are inherently queer friendships. These women will get drunk and make out with each other. On Atlanta, there is straight up gay sex happening. Like some of them are bi. Some of them don't talk about it. They'll get drunk and hook up with each other. It's a whole thing that's happening.
Yeah. And like, I think they're all like struggling with a lot of the lives that they've led and the money and the husbands, and like, they're struggling with very, like, the standard. They're struggling with that. And you see it, and then you see them be weird and get into trouble. Like, fucking crazy stories from the Housewives. Public, like, real stories. And about, like, head norm Shay. You know what I'm saying? Like crazy. Like, remember Taylor and her scary-ass husband? Sorry.
Oh, my God.
Trigger warning.
Yeah. Wow.
But, okay, we can move on.
No, I mean, it was... I don't know. I'm sorry. See, they're not talking about the joys of being a lesbian. I just have been watching so much Housewives. I'm sorry.
No, I think, like, these women would find more joy if they just...
Yeah, and honestly, the most well-adjusted housewife and one who consistently, like, makes money, has, like, mm-hmm. a career in the arts is, like, has been, she was from the girl group in the 90s.
Escape.
Yeah, sorry. We have Candy Burris, who was in Escape and stays smart about a lot of her choices. She's the most well-adjusted housewife, in my opinion. And she fucks women. Like, her and her husband will, like, have threesomes. She has a sex toy company. She's very open about her sexuality. And she's out, just bi. Right? She had been, like, kind of outed in one season. But she's like, at least I'm not lying about it. You guys lie about it. I'll have fun. I like to have fun, but I love my husband.
It's so weird to me that such a healthy example exists in the world and that that didn't just like take over, because I think that's what most people do, like that are in that scenario. They just kind of do it and they make it work and it's like honest and shit and like fun.
Yeah.
And it's just weird how it works so well the other way when it's completely unsustainable. Anyways,
I could go on a full on tangent and I will not. What are your favorite things about being a lesbian?
What are my favorite things?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Again, the sex. Definitely.
But of course.
And I can't believe we can't just not talk about it. Like, I don't want to just say, like, obvious. Like, it really, if you're on the fence out there, folks, let me assure you that it's really cool.
There are a lot of people on the fence. It is intimidating.
It's intimidating what?
To a lot of, people who are like coming to terms with their sexuality. I think a lot of girls are, there's not a lot of representation. There's not a lot of resource. It's just it's not as demystified as straight sex. So I think a lot of people might be on the fence.
Straight sex needs to be demystified too. Like the way they think about shit is crazy.
Oh, that's yeah.
Crazy.
I'm not even giving mystified. Like that's just.
Yeah, for sure.
So toxic.
And, but this is another cool thing about being a lesbian. It's like, it's just the questioning of things. I mean, I think that's why being Jewish and a lesbian goes so well together. It's the questioning. nice. But other religions can join in too. and it is its own religion in that way. Like, I worry for these people who struggle with the intimidation of the intimidation, but that's about like, your own vagina too.
One of the fun things about being with other women, I think that women are a lot more like body positive mm-hmm. with each other, and that it's like the male gaze stuff that weighs straight or bi, pan, whatever. Any women who sleep with cis men, like that's where you feel like the standards come. That's who the magazine covers, the airbrushing is made for them mm-hmm. and their consumption, so that like amongst women, like you don't have to feel like, oh, they're going to look at me and wish that I dropped 10 pounds or something like that. Like there's none.
Yeah.
Or hopefully yeah. there's none of that.
I hope. Less of but that. It's not always the case. Like I've seen it. Yeah, I've seen a lot
in LA
of
too. Right. So the same, it's like
that's why I say it's about your own thing, because it's like you still think that way, and I still think that way. Like, yeah, like it's a part of being a woman, I think, or anyone really, because I think a lot more men have anorexia and bulimia than most people talk about. Anyway,
yeah,
it's just like everybody has that idea that you're like a disgusting, sweaty pig during sex, and like you need to be like this fresh piece of salmon or something. I don't even know like what the goal is, but you have to be like sushi vibes.
But this pussy expensive.
Right. Like very neat and like adorable all the time and stuff. And sushi's delicious, whatever. No shade to sushi. But I have seen girls be like, I'm jealous of her body. And then they turn it, like, I still see chicks just, like, still turn it into that, because that's the pattern. And that's, like, the sickness of, like, being, you know, trying to figure out, like, your body and sex and stuff. It's, like, they're being, like, well, if they look good, then I'm a fat pig or something. And I'm, like, this disgusting thing compared to them. And I'm like, why don't you just be horny about it and like just cut the rep? You were right the first time, like they're hot. Just stop there.
Yeah.
You got it. You nailed it.
Why don't you be just horny?
Just cut it. And then that's it. And that's really the answer, you know? I think I do too, you know. Like we have this tendency to like just make it not fun. when actually it just is, like, just let it be.
You know?
But yeah, I agree that it's just such a warm feeling of like sisterhood, and like that's one of the main draws of being a lesbian, is like there's less pressure from that angle.
Yeah, I've definitely cared less about my stretch marks when sleeping with a woman than I did with a man. Because you're like, you know, you get it. We have hips.
I wonder if guys even like that, you too. Like, just like that. Yeah, they hate your stretch mark. No, I'm wondering if guys even want that image either. And I'm wondering if guys are actually lesbians too. Yeah. They can't get there because it's so much reconditioning. But
I know society is stopping men from being lesbians.
Absolutely.
Imagine the world.
I don't know. Whenever guys are like, oh, I like women with like less makeup, but then it's always some like bombshell, like they only say that about a picture of like the most gorgeous woman you've ever seen wearing like light makeup or
no
something.
Makeup,
like,
makeup. Yeah. No, no makeup look.
Right. And that there's just like this certain kind of look that's like hyper straight. That's like why I can't watch The Bachelor. It's like they all are just, it's like a male gaze pageant. And to me, like none of it's attractive because I'm like, this is all for,
I don't know. Bachelor, you guys, we can't get into The Bachelor right now because that's just crazy. <I don't. laughs> We can't do that. That's not straightism. That's something else. That's like some, I don't even know what that is. Honestly, The Bachelor's like beamed in from a horrible future of America. Like, I don't know what that is.
It has been going so long.
Yeah.
There's probably some quantum issue there. Like there's probably some like parallel universe. Like The Bachelor is a window, something that you can like, if you get through The Bachelor, you can get into the other paradigm. You can get into the other universe or something. Like
is it better there?
I'm just saying, like, I think The Bachelor's used as like a test throughout the universes or something. It's too crazy. So now we've crazy. Moved into quantum science. So like let's move on.
The joys of being a lesbian. You are versed in quantum science. You're just smarter and happier.
Do you think that gay men have more fun than lesbians?
I'm gonna start just tearing them apart right now for how fucked up they are. But absolutely, they are they're going down a path, like, not to sound like a Christian, but they are on a path to hell. And I pray for those bitches every day. I'm concerned. And if they call that fun, that's also part of the problem. It's a different metric. I can't say what's fun to them.
But they also seem like they're having more fun.
I'm very, very jealous.
They do. Why? No one gave us poppers.
To the lesbians?
Maybe that's why. Yeah.
I think we just need something that's like poppers. For us. That does something for us as beneficial.
Absolutely. I think lesbian. What is the lesbian drug? What's the lesbian brand?
Oh, tea. I don't know.
Beer.
My mind went to weed first.
Oh, yeah.
Beer and weed.
I feel like most lesbians I know smoke weed.
My girlfriend's doing in the other room right now.
What about that drug that's like the limitless drug? If we could do the limitless pill, that's like, there's the real Elizabeth one. Holmes. You've heard of the real limitless pill, right?
Huh?
The real
there's
one?
There's a real one.
Oh, I thought that was just like a movie.
No, there's like a real drug that does that, but it's very short term, I think. And I think it actually makes you like stupider for like a week after. Anyway, maybe it is fun. Because it's just pure chaos. And like Sodom and Gomorrah vibes. And I guess that is, I do think lesbians need to work on that. Like, we need to figure out these utopic scenarios and like figure out how to manufacture them the way gay men have.
Mm-hmm. So, funnest things about being a lesbian. We have sex.
Yeah, we like have really good convos, I think, is the other thing, like, as convos, is evident.
Yeah.
Communication is up.
I thought you said communication, like communication, communication, like Fran Drescher.
Yeah,
we have communication. Oh my God. Yeah. I would never trade the talks that I have with my girlfriend. Like they're the most, I mean, I am seriously becoming like a celestial, like I'm joining the stars when I talking with the stars. With my girlfriend, like seriously,
that's
like,
how elevated the conversation is. You are up in the stars.
Absolutely, like it's just we heal. We just heal on. sorry, that sounded like I was going to say something fun, and then it's like we heal, babes. Like it is. I mean, it's painful as hell, but it's like. I just don't know what else I'd be doing with my time. Like, but it's really fun to be on a path towards like becoming your true self. And sorry, there's not much, it's not very like punchy. That's not very punchy.
Punchy answers only here.
Oh yeah. Have you had a relationship ever with a man or a boy? Or like, do you have a contrast to like compare your lesbian relationships against, basically?
Yeah, I don't have a point of comparison, so I just knew that I was like sad and frustrated before knowing I was a lesbian, and once I knew I was a lesbian, I was like, oh,
maybe you don't know how sad and frustrated you can get
because right.
I have dated a man for a couple years.
I feel embarrassed because I think that I just showed my, you guys like nailed it, like that there was a before. I do have a point of comparison. A couple. Mm-hmm. I don't know what was going on there. It's so hard because I had no perspective. Mm-hmm. But I just know that it was like, what? I can't even, I feel like I had like a gag on and like, not literally, but just like, I was like, my head was spinning. I was like, just terrified. My body hurt. Like just, it was, that's what it was like dating men.
My body hurt. Yeah.
My head was killing me. Like it was like,
there's
like,
no communication and things get bottled up in you and it does hurt.
Yeah,
eventually. It like hurts. You do feel physical pain sometimes.
Physically, like, it was very physical, the pain. And because I was so confused, I think what was happening. And like literally like within a few months of really like committing to lesbianism, I was like, oh, I got to go to therapy and I got to do this. And like things started making, like I was truly cured in a lot of ways.
Oh, honestly. Yeah. I got a lot more introspect. I was very on this like look inward kick and like be honest with myself, obviously, when you're realizing those and like committing, I guess, to a lesbian lifestyle. But it was just, I have never felt so like gaslit and the ball game.
And you're like gaslighting yourself too. Is that I'm not even going to put it on the men because it's like, it's they're not even about this, but like, it's like you, there's something fucked up with between men and women. I don't know what, and I can only speak from my own personal experience, but I see it repeated and I'm just like, there's some scorched earth there. I think we're done with that. I think we're done with the straight thing, at least for a couple hundred years.
Mm-hmm. What's the age?
But I may be taking someone's sexual freedom away, so I don't want to do that, obviously.
Sure.
But I would make it illegal in my country.
Just a misdemeanor, okay?
No, full.
No, like, full felony.
But there's no prisons in my country, and my country's there's no such thing as countries, but you would go to prison forever if we did have countries.
I'm going to bring this up at my next DSA Zoom.
Yeah, have me as a guest speaker. I'll explain.
Okay.
So that's fun about being a lesbian.
We got two things.
Two things.
Like an hour in. We got two.
I think, oh my God, it's just like literally like I can't, like the running through the field feeling of being a lesbian is just like do you guys agree or disagree?
Yeah, I'm thinking ethereal kind of feeling. Is that different than what you're same. Thinking? I feel like an angel. At first, I was like,
angel.
Oh, yeah. I am, celestial, as you said, being. Something called magical.
Exactly. And speaking of Xscape, that song, I mean, they have lots of lesbian songs, but they have, like, so many visual representations, I think, of being lesbian, too.
Yeah, they're pretty dykey.
Yeah.
Just in, like, their brand felt really gay.
Totally.
Candy Burrs is so gay. Anyways.
So hot. Like, their looks, I mean, love them. But I was going to say, yeah, like, nature and being a lesbian, like, the stars and, like, water. Like, I would say underwater waterfalls.
Mm-hmm.
Just to, you know, like, free association.
Yeah.
That's kind of lesbianism, too.
Yeah. Poets.
Underwater waterfalls.
Underwater waterfalls, okay. I would say.
Okay.
You're like, 90s R&B, TLC, Don't Go Chasing.
Yes.
Free association. Can I tell you,
my wife is like behind me right now, and she can only hear my side of the conversation. So I can only imagine. You're just
like, waterfalls?
Yeah, she's like trying to think of what she's going to make for the episode.
I mean, agree or disagree. Like, Ask your wife. Agree or disagree. Lesbianism is about waterfalls.
Babe, agree or disagree, lesbianism is about waterfalls.
That was a quick yes.
Does
that make TLC homophobic? Is that what the song is? Don't go chasing.
Yes.
No, it's like, don't go chasing it. You are one. We're all gay here.
Yeah, exactly. Stop looking for the waterfall. You are the waterfall, babe.
Yeah, we're got a girl
it,
group.
Got it. / AIDS.
Yeah.
If you wrote, call back to the music video. Yes.
/ AIDS.
True. But not just TLC, like waterfalls, the actual waterfalls.
Yes, yeah.
So, and I would say that would be a commercial. If you want to see a commercial for lesbianism, go to a waterfall.
Yeah.
Right.
Just earthiness, the elements, witchiness. I just realized I'm wearing a shirt that says, I believe in witches. That's I just beautiful. Realized this.
Me too.
I believe in you.
In Montreal?
Of Montreal. Do you remember that band? This is old.
Ooh.
Oh, of Montreal, the band. Oh,
yes,
okay.
Yes, yes, yes.
I thought it was like, I believe in the witches of Montreal. I'm like, I guess that's where I'm from.
I want to be careful with witches, but yes, I'm so into, and I also want to be careful with the word magic. I think magic is more real than like what we consider real in a lot of ways. You know, I'm getting into God. So sorry. That's why I sound like this. That's another fun thing about lesbianism. Is God. Okay.
Questioning your existence.
What's like some more, like we want to like really sell the kids on this. So like.
Okay, we need at least. Okay.
We need the okay. the 20 somethings to like.
Yeah.
Convert.
Sharing clothes.
Sharing clothes. Yeah.
Do you and Michelle?
Yeah, we do.
Okay. Yeah.
I think I'm wearing all of her original items. Yeah. Right now. Yeah.
I own like an insane amount of underwear. And then, so my wife, like whenever she runs out, she just.
Oh, same. Except reverse.
Wears my underwear. Yep. Yeah.
So no, we don't share underwear.
So just real quick.
No. We have very different underwear requirements.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah. And yeah, I'll just say it. I wear exclusively thongs. And I don't know why. I think it's a leftover habit from from my straight years. From my
not from your ace years.
No. It actually was asexual, I think.
Oh my God.
Because I can't, yeah.
Oh, was it like middle school? Like that was my first.
Yeah,
it's that's leftover. When I was wearing thongs. It's like that Pen 15. I bring it up a lot.
Literally,
like,
yeah.
It's like one of my favorite episodes of television.
Ever. And I still am that. Like, I still feel like it makes me feel good. I think it's the only real underwear. I think it's, I don't know, is that psychotic?
No, I just, for years, I mean, I haven't worn thongs since the 7th grade and just got some.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt good walking around. It's like I had a little secret.
Yeah, I don't think I've worn them in like 10 years.
I'm wondering, like, am I a psychopath for doing this for literally like 20 years?
I think if you keep it up, it's fine. But then like once you stop wearing them, then and then you try one on, you're like, well, this seems cruel. Like, why? Why am I just making myself like,
so you're saying my ass is just like callous? Is that what you're saying? No, but like the thought of a full assed panty is crazy to me. Not the look of it, like I think it's wonderful, but the thought of that on my ass with pants on it is just like I want to like tear my hair out. Like it's too much on my ass. I think. It's crazy. Sounding.
Okay, so sharing underwear is not one of the fun things about me. I get it.
You guys are the first people I've ever talked to in a year. So I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, this is a very weak thesis we have going. Let's see.
We're definitely not angry and miserable. And I swear to God, we will come up with three. We just have to sit on
three
fun things. Okay.
Three, the haircut.
Yeah.
There we
Great
go.
Great hair. The best hair in the world. Lesbians invented haircuts, actually.
We invented haircuts and
eyebrow
slits.
Yes, and looking like fucking, like, yes, with the hair shapes. Absolutely. And then, I think this is, like, documented. They just invented haircuts. Lesbians invented haircuts. And then...
Lesbians invented aesthetic, I'm going to say.
Yes.
In general.
Yes. I agree.
The joy of being a lesbian is, I think, aesthetic is up there.
The looks, like the leather pants, the colors, like the colors of how sex, like just really good looks.
The cuffing.
Cuffing. The shirt open to the mid chest. We invented that. We invented chunky heels. Like,
not wearing bras.
Not wearing bras.
Heath Ledger.
Yes.
A lesbian.
He did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. Should we just rattle off some good ones? Because this is good. I feel like this energy is good.
Sensible footwear.
Footwear.
Like getting to go into the bathroom together.
Bathroom
to hook
hookups.
Love.
I Beautiful. Yeah. Feel for... the community right now in this pandemic.
I know.
Yeah,
like that sucks. Oh my God. Like being
like young lesbians right now.
I mean, I can't imagine. And just like so fun being a lesbian. I have some great, a friend of mine is like very good at being a lesbian. And she was like telling, you know, she has a story about just talking to the rich lady in front of her in the bathroom. And then they hooked up.
What? Yeah. Just waiting in the line?
Waiting in line.
They were talking? Yeah,
she is very good at
very
being
good
lesbian.
Yeah,
that's like, I mean,
tell her to write a book.
So fun. That's just the funnest. The funnest thing too is watching L Word with your lesbians and like just laughing. Yeah. So hard. It just, I don't know, even just like the second it's on, I start laughing.
Yeah, it's a comedy.
It's one of the funniest things ever made.
It's a dark comedy.
It really is.
I mean, it's my favorite thing to laugh and talk about queer, like any type of queer media, I think is so much fun. And I don't think that straight people have as much fun talking about their representation because it's like such a given. Yeah. And then for us, it's like, oh, this is what you're serving up this time? Yeah. Okay, what's going
on
here?
We did an episode on Happy Season. That was longer than the movie. Like, clowning on it. I mean, it's fun.
That was fucked up. That movie was fucked up. Like, that. I mean, I'm glad it's doing well because then whoever's in charge will just let us make some more. But
right,
that was fucked up. I'm going to say that.
Clea Duvall isn't having enough lesbian fun in her life. That was my
conclusion. Very upsetting. Yeah, like actually, like it might even be like a crazy cinematic thing. Like the revelation of her is what she's going through in that movie.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
That she thinks that's a movie that should be called Happiest
was
Season.
Was it an, yeah,
makes
was it
me
a satire?
For
it might have been a satire. If you look at it like that, that's fun.
Maybe I'll watch it again.
Should we try it again as a satire?
I think so. I think we should, because then, yeah, that would be very lesbian if she made a satire.
That's so lesbian, yeah, for sure. I'm going to try that, actually. You know what makes me think it's a satire is that they use Samsung phones in it.
They do.
Okay, wait, let's keep rattling. Let's keep rattling.
Okay.
So, wait, I had one. You were on it with, like, the hooking up in the bathroom. Oh, so fun when you're like, that person's gay, and I'm going to hook up with that person. Like, when you're like, you see it, and yes, you're like, I'm so happy that that person's a lesbian. That is just a joy that's, like, amazing. I love seeing lesbians at a place. Like,
that is one of my favorite, actually, legitimate favorite.
Seeing them in the wild. Yeah.
Feeling.
And then just turning to your girlfriend and like that.
Yeah.
Like,
and just, oh my God, it's like, it's look. So embarrassing. Like, in my early years, I was just like, oh, lesbian. Like, I would.
Yeah.
I still do it too.
Yeah.
32.
It's embarrassing sometimes. Cause like I was watching, this was long ago when I saw a movie in a theater, and like, Atomic Blonde came on, the trailer.
Yeah.
And they have this scene where she's a lesbian. I was like, oh my God. Like, to everyone. And they were like, Casey. Like, that's not, don't be embarrassing.
I straight up point in the wild. That's, it's bad.
I also think that a lot of times, so you know how like everybody thinks that you're sisters when you're dating another woman, they're like, oh, you guys are sisters.
Really?
And that's like a very common thing for lesbians.
Do you not me. I've never seen that.
Hey, mister.
Okay.
She's my sister.
People thought my ex-wife and I were twins. Like multiple times people were like, twins? Are you two twins? And we don't look alike. And it was crazy. But even like other exes too would always get asked if we were sisters. But now whenever I see two women, I'm like, oh, lesbians. And I like 75% of the time, they're probably just like sisters at Home Depot and they're not.
If that's the case, lesbians. I'm sad. Like if I might've been mistaken that they were just sisters.
I've been getting it wrong lately with mother daughters. I think Sarah Paulson has just like, you know, like possibilities are endless. So I'll see like an older woman and a younger one. And I'm like, ooh, it's a hot, you know, May, December romance. And then it's definitely like a mother daughter.
Shit. I'm going to have to look out for that. Cause I'm worried that would suck. Cause like, it's not fun to be like, oh, I'm wrong. It's fun to be like, oh, it's real.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's another fun thing about being lesbian. Not just confirming.
Yes, confirming.
Like being right about
getting the confirmation.
I have a crazy lesbian. This is like probably never happened in the world. Me and my girlfriend went to Palm Springs years ago. We stayed in this hotel. We got in the pool. There was a lesbian couple. We thought they were sisters, and then they started making out. We were like, oh my God. Now there's two lesbian couples in this tiny pool in a little Palm Springs place. God. A third lesbian couple gets in the pool. What?
Not Dinah Shore.
No. No. Like it was winter. And
what?
Oh my God. We didn't speak.
No one spoke. Yeah. That's also the best.
It was really, I mean, that part kind of, I was like, why can't we make this happen? I was like trying to figure out like how to plot an orgy, like plot something, like we should be best friends or something, but I couldn't figure it out. And I was like, oh, and then like before I could even think of anything, the weekend was over. Everyone was gone. I was so stressed out trying to figure out how to become friends. And I said something to one of them, like, hey, but then it didn't. So we just were chill. Like I shouldn't beat myself up for that. Like I didn't force some weird thing. Like we were just, each of us have that, you know, six women have that memory, and that's good enough for me.
That is good.
I mean, I know the feeling, like my wife and I were at an all-inclusive resort And it was like our first time at one of these. So those are like very heteronorm. And then we spotted like this other younger lesbian couple. Mm-hmm. My wife was so excited and I was like, you have to stop staring. But like for the rest of the trip, we were like on the lookout for them, looking for like, what's our opening, like waiting to see them in the pool so we could go in the pool by them or something like that. And it just like never mm-hmm. happened, but we became so obsessed with it though. Like the one time we saw them, we could have just mm-hmm. said something like, hey, what are you guys doing after dinner?
Amazing.
You
know?
Did not. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been trying to think of a lesbian cat call too my entire life. I've been like, do you say, hey, lesbian, or do you say sister? Do you say, yeah, like I've been trying to come up with one. I can't. Because it's very specific. Yeah. Like women just feel threatened. They feel threatened. I feel threatened for my safety often.
We can't be blamed.
Yeah. I don't want to just be like
historically.
Yeah, I don't want to just be triggering bitches in the streets. Like,
yeah,
I want to make friends. What else?
Fun. You got a good list.
Something I think is fun is when I check into a hotel mm-hmm. with my wife, and they're like, "It's just one king bed. Is that okay?" And like, they always look a little panicked. Mm-hmm. And I think that's fun. I think it's fun to make straight people like uncomfortable because they're like not sure how to read the situation. To me, that's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Straight people following protocol, like a concierge, like someone at a mm-hmm. hotel, and making them feel and they don't have a script
right.
for your answer. That's the best.
Or when they ask me about my husband and I'm like, it's my wife. And then I could tell they feel real dumb and awful. And I'm like, yep, sit in that.
I love that. I love piercing the veil. I love, like walking down the street and being gay. People are jealous. I'll just say it. I love feeling everyone's jealousy. Like, how did she do that? Because I know that when I see lesbians, I'm like, how did they do it? They're geniuses. Like, and I did it. And I'm still like, how did they do it? It's so awesome. You know?
Little miracles.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, and it's just so fun being like a unicorn. What else is fun?
Softball? I don't know.
I think lesbians are also very good at a lot of things. Every lesbian I know is like pretty good at everything they've ever done. Like just good at like opening jars, everything. Like moving boxes. Fixing little things on the eyeglasses,
mounting things.
But more like good, like guitar and handwriting and, you know, their jobs. Like, oh my God.
At the top of their field, you know, and a lot of professions.
Just like getting in there and knowing how to work. Really good lesbians. What else is fun? It's hard to think of fun things too, because we've been in the pandemic.
Like, I know.
I can't even remember a fun thing, but there's so many fun things. Like they have really good taste in music. Like sometimes. I think also too, what's fun about being a lesbian is like imagining the future and being like at the forefront of that. Like there's so much lesbianism that hasn't been unearthed.
Yeah. The future is mm-hmm. bright, I think, for lesbians.
Totally.
Definitely.
Totally.
Can't wait.
Well, I guess we should end on that.
Yeah.
I
don't know. All right. I'm down. I'm exhausted, to be honest. Like trying to come up with this shit.
Talking to two humans in a pandemic.
It's so hard.
I know. Well, do you want to be found by our listeners?
Yeah.
And if so, where can they find you?
Casey Jellison on Insta and Twitter. Oh, I'm going to be in this upcoming season of Search Party. Look out for me there.
Amazing.
I am mid-binge right now.
Oh my God, it's fabulous.
When it went off at TBS, I couldn't access it for a while. Now I'm like, I got HBO Max. I love it. It is one of the best shows.
Huge fan.
Ever.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and where else am I? I'm going to be around. I'm coming out. Like I'm going to be out and around. Whenever they allow us to leave the house.
Love it. Well, we'll look out for you then. Thank you so much, Casey, for diking out with us.
Thank you so much for having me. My pleasure.
All right. Well, I feel a lot better about being Pan still.
Yeah.
I think I'm still Pan for now.
Yeah. I don't know what argument we made, if any,
but
but just that we are enjoying our queer identities, whatever they may be. And we hope you all are enjoying your own identities as well. Yes. I think that was the point.
Yes, yes.
And that gay men are going to hell.
That sent me.
Yeah.
We love a deadpan dyke is what I'm saying. Shall we get into our listener question?
We shall, we shall.
Okay. This listener is a lesbian. Identify as a lesbian, and for the past 3 years, I've been in a relationship with my girlfriend. After a year of trying out new styles, short hair, buying a binder, etc., they came out to me as non-binary. They're fine with the term girlfriend and she, her pronouns, though.
I think they're just saying that because they refer to them as...
the girlfriend.
She referred as her girlfriend, previously. And we don't want people to think that she's not respecting the non-binary identity.
I love them so much that I could never leave them. This feeling is mutual. I think of myself as pan-romantic, so my feelings for them are not in danger. But the sexual attraction might be. I am sexually attracted to women only, but my partner thinks of having surgery to get rid of their boobs and hips, which I love, and overall become less and less female, and this freaks me out and scares me. Do you know where I can find people in similar situations? What can we do to save the sexual aspect of our relationship? It is very important to me, and we both love intimacy.
I mean, of course you both love intimacy because having lesbian sex is the funnest part of being a lesbian, as we just established beyond a doubt. That's the one thing we could agree on.
Yeah,
this is a situation that is tough.
And you are prevalent.
Yes, you are definitely sending in great questions, you haulers. Keep them coming, dykingout@gmail.com if you have one. But let's get to this one. I don't know if I have any actual real advice to give because I don't know. I want to say that that's very valid. I don't think that that's bad. You know, attraction has a lot of different components. As I said earlier with my rankings of the Ocean's 8, you know, there's physical components, there are mental components,
right.
There are energy components. And if the physical stuff changes to where like the entire aesthetic has changed and you're somebody who is into like very feminine physical attributes, that's not your fault if the intimacy is affected by that. It's hard to know, I guess, until it happens because you might think you'll be less attracted to them if they have surgery and then maybe they have surgery and that's not the case, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
These are all like very case by case.
And attraction can be very fluid and you might think like, oh, I love boobs. I love big boobs. I couldn't be with somebody without boobs. And then you might learn that maybe that's not the case. I don't know. It's different for everybody.
My girlfriend's been with three of Allie's exes have ended up non-binary and getting top surgery. And that those relationships, she like has looked back on and been like, I needed to, when I realized that they had dysphoria, like that's something that's important to me. So I had to, the relationship needed to end, obviously.
That's unfortunate. And that's very complicated, but if that's what your partner needs to do and they're happier and feeling better about themselves that way, like sometimes it's just like an unfortunate thing that it's no longer a match.
We're all on our journeys and yeah, it just might not be a right match. I do know a bunch of couples that started off as cis women in a lesbian relationship and then one of them has come out as non-binary or trans and has gone from like binders to top surgery And I do know, I just want to say, I know a bunch of couples who stay together and still love each other.
For some
so
people,
much.
It doesn't matter. For some people, they think it's going to matter and then they realize it doesn't. You know, it's so different for everybody. So in terms of, you know, you're asking specifically, like, what can you do to save the sexual aspect of our relationship? I think the most important thing is to talk about it and be honest about it. Because I think that if the worst thing would be to not express these things, and I think that would just insert even more anxiety into the situation, and for both of you to at least be in a place where you both feel very safe. Now, at the same time, that's like a delicate balance because you don't want to make your partner feel bad for being who they are.
Yeah, the partner should just do that. Proceed as they were, you know?
Yeah, but you don't want them to feel bad of like, oh, you're going to be less attracted to me without this part of my body that makes me feel bad, you know? That's like a hard...
Oh, yeah.
Like I feel like if I was in a relationship with somebody who was doing that and I felt that way, I wouldn't want to say anything because I wouldn't want to make them feel bad. But that's not healthy to keep those things in either. I think the best thing too, your instincts are right, is find other people who are going through this. I'm sure there are probably online forums. If you Google it, maybe you can connect with people. Or if there are other listeners, sometimes we can connect listeners to listeners who've gone through this and have better advice than
we
what
have
we
connected
have.
Connected listeners.
Yeah, we'll connect you with people. So reach out to us. And in the subject line, this week's listener question, write that and we'll know what you're talking about. And then just leave your email and we'll connect you.
Because we do get a lot of emails that say listener question. And then sometimes I'll just like mindlessly move them to the listener question tab.
Folder. Yeah. So you can email us once again at dykingout@gmail.com. Send us your questions. Or if you have a more specific question or you want to answer that's a private and that's in video form, there is jemmy.app. That's jemi.app/dykingout. And you can follow us on all social media at Dyking Out or on TikTok at Dyking Out Pod. You can follow me at TGI Carolyn.
You can follow me at Melody Kamali.
And that's all from us this week. We will
see you next Tuesday.
It's Rihanna, right?
It's Rihanna.
It's Rihanna.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.